This is Primetime on KTEP, a program that focuses on economic development, mobility, security, and quality of life issues in El Paso and surrounding areas.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayoub, Thunderbird Management Consulting, and this afternoon I have the not-so-rare, apparently, privilege of having a very special guest on. He's special for several reasons. He's special because he's just an outstanding leader in his field, which you'll hear about momentarily. And he's special because he's a friend of mine. But he's also special because this is his fifth appearance on our radio show, which is a record. We have Dr. Kenneth Meisner, who is the dean of the College of Engineering, now known as the Miguel A. Loya College of Engineering. Kenneth, welcome, and thank you for taking this show on again.
Well, thanks, Richard. It's always a pleasure to be here. I don't know how special I am. I'll take the number special.
You're pretty special. You're the only guy I know personally who has been willing to sit on a dunking booth with a kilt on. So you're very special. But look, we have so much to talk about and share with our audience and so little time. So let's begin by, first of all, talking about the Miguel A. Loya College of Engineering.
No, it was wonderful. You know, Miguel Loya has been a friend of the university for decades now, super successful, wonderful guy. He's actually very much into rugby. So me having spent time in Wales, I'm very into rugby. So we actually bonded around rugby for a while. But he is just such a wonderful, warm, giving, honest person that, you know, him making this $30 million gift, the biggest in UTEP history, to endow Loya scholars and to name the College of Engineering is wonderful. I could not be happier to have the college associated with anyone.
And he was educated here at UTEP.
He was. He's a graduate. He went on from here to Harvard, some small school back east, but for his MBA, and he did very, very well.
He sure did. And importantly, as you already stated, he figured out early on when he did so well that he did so well with help of others, and so he's giving back. And this is important. You mentioned it's the biggest single gift to the university, which is pretty super. But let's talk a little bit about the details of the Loya Scholarship and what that means, where the rubber meets the road.
Absolutely. You know, and I think one of the things to realize, it is about Loya scholars. So it's about undergraduate scholars. And if you had the opportunity to be at the ceremony or watch the recording of the ceremony, you could see that ceremony was about the students. And that's really what this is about. You know, this is a nationally competitive scholarship. So it's providing room, board, tuition, fees, an allowance for living to these students. And, you know, I think that holistic look at scholarships and being able to get the students financially comfortable, financially stable, so that they can really concentrate on their studies is going to attract some really high caliber students and really help them achieve their dreams and goals.
Yeah, and I was at the ceremony, and when this part of the announcement was made, I looked around and I wasn't the only one whose jaw dropped. So there is an opportunity for a bonus award at graduation.
There is. You know, the students can earn up to $30,000 upon graduation, depending on what honors they have and things like that. And I think it really points out how Mike has really looked at his success and seen what would have really helped him at the time. Because he came here first gen and such. And I think, you know, he really understands the journey that our students are on and has given a lot of thought to this. And I mean, he came to us with very much this idea formed in his head. So, you know, again, he's a deep thinker in that way. He really understands that journey and has looked at his success, I think.
Yes, that's great. And of course, the scholarships begin next year, next fall, in 2027.
Correct.
Correct?
Correct.
And when it's fully engaged, up to 40 or 50 students will be enrolled in this program.
As Loya scholars, absolutely. You know, and I think that's, there's going to be a cohort that forms there. And we're really looking forward to that learning community. But also beyond that, it's going to be the additional richness that I think it's going to be bringing to the college. And again, I think we're all really hoping that this keeps some of the really high-end talent that we have a lot of in El Paso, but sometimes our students head, our kids head elsewhere to study at a university in the Midwest or in the East or something. And hopefully this keeps more of them at home while also attracting some top-end talent from outside to come in.
And of course, this is my economic development hat I'm wearing. So the next phase of that, of course, and we're already all working on that. You, Dr. Wilson, our city, a lot of our community leaders, in recruiting companies that need that kind of talent. So once they graduate, we retain them here. Very,
absolutely.
Very important aspect to that
absolutely.
Process. And speaking of high caliber students, there's a lot of information our audience probably does not know about what kind of graduation we've had here, what kind of graduate students we've had. If you would elaborate on that, please.
Sure. Just at the undergraduate level, you know, we do have an incredibly talented and driven and resilient bunch of students here already. You know, and I think that can illustrate that a number of different ways. I'm proud to announce just last week, the UTEP Sun City Summit Rocket Team won first place in the Texas Lone Star Cup again. So they have repeated their victory from last year. So, and this is a team of undergraduate students that comes together around rocketry and really is bringing that theoretical knowledge they're learning in class, and they're building rockets and competing on that. So, super proud of them. You know, if we look at then the high achievers, you know, in 2023, two of our students, Ana Paula Aranzola and a mechanical engineer, and Brian Rodriguez Delgado, a computer scientist, became the university's first ever recipients of the Goldwater Scholarship. And that scholarship is actually one of the most prestigious undergraduate scholarships that you get in the United States, showing just how well our students compete. And then in 24, Max Rothblatt, who's also a mechanical engineer and has become, I do believe, the first UTEP student to go into the Space Force as an officer.
I did not know that.
He did. He did. And he was also the St. Pat for TCM Day his senior year. Well, he was the first UTEP student to be named a finalist for a Rhodes Scholarship, which, of course, is something that President Wilson was a Rhodes Scholar.
Yes, she was.
Coming out of the Air Force Academy.
Yeah.
So you know, again, we have so much talent here already, and this the scholars that are going to come in as Loyola Scholars are just going to add an additional richness and layer to that.
By the numbers, and I want you to share that I'm so glad you decided to include this information in our interview, because few people realize, and I've worked with economic development leaders in our community, our region for years, and I've heard a lot of numbers thrown about. Bob Cook, my predecessor at the Chamber, and a good friend, used to speak to the number of graduates we had between NMSU and UTEP alone in engineering, and they were, unfortunately, as we just spoke about, leaving El Paso for, you know, parts unknown and greater opportunities for them. So I think these numbers are really important to share with our audience.
No, they're astounding. You know, and the Paso del Norte region here does produce so much talent. You know, the college itself now has over 5,400 students total, and that includes over 4,600 undergraduate students. We're currently growing across our undergraduate, master's, and PhD programs, so that's got that research focus there as well. In fact, it's kind of astounding. I arrived in fall of 2022, so naturally I compare everything to fall of 2021. If I look at that...
So, I love your approach.
You know, but if I compare to that, you know, our fall 25 numbers, we've grown by 32% in undergraduate enrollment
since
fall of 21. And that's just an astounding growth. In fact, if we look nationally at engineering, which is growing nationally, we've doubled the growth rate of engineering nationally. And so the university, I think we've got great faculty, we've got great staff. I think the university has tuned its mission and its system for delivering for the students to our student population so well, better than any other university in the country, I think.
I would agree with you on all points. And I'm not trying to pat her on the back because I know she doesn't like the limelight, but I've seen so much happen in a positive way at our university here. Since Dr. Wilson came on board, I was privileged to go to the event several months ago for the announcement of the College of Mining, which is a growing industry. And the good fortune of having that being established here and, of course, having the UT system bless that opportunity, just it just underscores what you just said a second ago.
But I think, a point you made earlier is critical to this. You know, we are a Research One university, and our ability to begin to translate that research and all of the workforce development that we do here into jobs in the Paso del Norte region is critical. And I think that's one of my goals, is to start bringing more engineering design centers, more engineering jobs to this area. You know, we've had some good luck with folks like Schneider and Eaton and such, where they've expanded operations, they're relying on our workforce development and the graduates. But still, as you said, you know, too much of our talent has to leave. And that's something that certainly in the College of Engineering, we're looking at how do we better translate that research to impact.
I would agree with you. And of course, none of us have that crystal ball that we all like to have. But, you know, you mentioned a moment ago about these young students winning this competition again, which I think is somewhat an elegant statement, considering that we have Blue Origins and their growth. These are all potential opportunities to keep talent within our region, within our community. And that's really one of our ultimate goals as we move forward. So, you know, a moment ago, I brought up the mining program. So as we talk about economic growth in our community, our region, perhaps you could expand a little bit on that particular subject and what that has the potential to mean to our region.
Absolutely, you know, and I couldn't be more happy to talk about mining. It's in our DNA here at UTEP. It's on our lapel collars where we are the miners and have picks and everything. So the ability to connect to the past but restart a 21st century mining engineering program here is just a wonderful way to move UTEP forward, move the region forward, you know, with the mining history here and in Chihuahua and Sonora, Arizona. You know, I think there's huge opportunity. And when we restart that, of course, it's going to be the only mining engineering program in Texas.
And, which is great.
Right. Yeah. The last one, you know, shuttered in the early 80s when Texas A&M shut theirs down.
Right.
We stopped in 1966. The industry has changed a lot since then. And it's wonderful to be able to jump back into the industry with kind of a blank sheet. You know, how do we make this a program that serves the state and the people of the state? Because Texas has the largest non-fuels mining economy in the United States. It's $10 billion. And so I think that's one of the things that really motivated the state to contribute $20 million. Motivated the regents to give us $20 million. And then we've had, you know, Freeport, as has announced, gave us $7
million. Yeah, that's right.
Freeport McMoRan and Peabody Energy gave us $5 million. We're working on some other industrial partners to come in on this to really help us get it started and also help inform on the industry side what they need. I mean, this is Pay Dirt Pete is a wonderful mascot. But that's not mining anymore.
No,
you know,
it's
mining
not.
Mining
no,
is high tech. It's autonomous vehicles. It's sensors. It is data. And I think that our ability to restart the program with all these technologies looking forward is a huge advantage for us.
Well, that's great to hear. It's just incredible all that's going on. I mean, I joke with you at the beginning of the show about now setting a record with five times being on the show. But the reality of it is there's been so much happening that to not have you on and not share this kind of information would be a disservice to the community.
Well, so, Richard, I tell you, you know, we have such talented students and faculty and staff that they're always giving me things to talk about, you know, and it's an honor to be able to serve the Miguel A. Loya College of Engineering as the dean.
Well, following along with that theme, let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that have recently happened within the College of Engineering, starting with Dr. Carney.
Sure. Well, you know, we've hired Jim Carney last fall to be the executive director of the WM Keck Center for 3D Innovation. And Jim brings an incredibly wealth of information and experience from Sandia National Labs and other government labs as well. And, you know, it was a real coup for us to be able to get him. And he's jumped right in, leading all kinds of efforts. And, you know, I think he's the kind of leader, the kind of collaborative leader that looks broadly across multiple fields to really drive that 3D printing and or additive manufacturing and advanced manufacturing forward. And, you know, the other thing, just last month, we hired the lead for our mining program, Dr. George Luxbacher, who was actually a past president of the Society for Mining, Metallurgy, and Extraction. In 2008, I believe he was the president there, and brings a bunch of industrial knowledge to us and experience, which, again, you'll notice these are not traditional hires. And, you know, that's really what we're looking for. You know, we need, as higher education, to be thinking beyond just the traditional ways of doing things. And that's what we're trying to do. And these two are fine examples, along with Sherry Welsh,
yes,
as well, who executive director of the Aerospace Center, who we hired about a year and a half ago. You know, these are the sorts of leaders we need to bring in who really, really, I think, serve our mission and our students really well.
I totally agree with you. And mentioning Dr. Luxbacher, that private sector experience is, in my view, essential to these students as they finish their education in mining and get out there into the real world to be able to have that economic understanding, if you will, from the private sector, because so much of that comes into play as they pursue their careers and grow.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it even goes beyond that in this case, because we're building the program. He's bringing a little more of an industrial view to this. What does industry really need out there and from our students? You know, what skill sets? You know, do our students need, and I'm not a mining engineer, you know, do you need ventilation 3 and ventilation 4, or do you need, you know, data analysis and AI to control autonomous vehicles?
You can tell you're speaking definitely over my head. But all kidding aside, over the last year or two, really, but especially now, I mean, for the last several years, all we've been hearing about is the need for rare earth materials and the need to be able to not only extract those materials, but utilize them so we can manufacture the products that go into virtually everything that we use on a daily basis, from our cell phones, our computers, our laptops, pretty much your refrigerator, who now talks back to you, all these sort of things that we sort of make light of, but are really critical. And for UTEP to be on the leading edge of this effort speaks volumes about the future of this university, I think, and most importantly, the futures of these students who are pursuing these disciplines.
Absolutely. You know, and I think obviously the critical minerals and metals have taken on a national security component and everything very heavily. I mean, it's been true for a long time, but it was just kind of recognized, I would say, in the last 5 years or so. And I think that's really put us on the right path. You know, if I look at mining in the next 8-10 years, I see a lot of growth. Because as you note, if you can't grow it, you got to mine it, you know, and that's where the material's coming from. Not to say, you know, we've got to look at circular economies and all that kind of stuff and how to better harvest used material, but we're still going to need that new material to go in these. And how do we get that? Where do we get it? How do we separate it? And then how do we turn that material into manufactured goods? And I think that's one of our real strengths here at UTEP. You know, if I look at it, we've got geology, we have mining, we have materials, then we have advanced manufacturing. So we're going all the way from finding out where it is in the ground to making parts with it in new and unique ways. And I think that's one of the reasons it fits so well into UTEP's ecosystem. And again, one would like to think that this is all coming full circle, right? And, you know.
I think it is. Yeah. And frankly, for decades, we've been talking about, well, why did this happen over here in this community? And look what it's done for their economy. I think it is our time now. I mean, I think to Intel and what they've meant to the communities where they expanded their operations and how they've, in that process, transformed their economies for the better.
Yep.
And I see that on the horizon for us, which actually leads me into sort of the last piece as we run out of time. I didn't want us to slip by speaking a little bit about 3D in particular and that kind of technology and your partnership with Ford Bliss.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, and it always goes too fast when we're together, Richard. I'll say that right off the bat.
By the way, not many people say that about me.
I have a tough time believing that. But yeah, so for years, the Keck Center has been training DOD folks in advanced manufacturing, additive mostly, but advanced manufacturing. But it's mostly been online, you know, basic training on this. Well, we're in the process of developing a more hands-on training program with Fort Bliss. When you look at something like an armored division, the number of vehicles that are waiting for spare parts that have a long lead time really impacts the ability to field all of the vehicles, for instance, and you know, being able to do some of that manufacturing in place right here, where you've shortened that supply chain to up the block, or if you're deployed, you know, something that's forward deployed, I think is key. And that's one of the things that we're trying to work with Fort Bliss on, is developing that training so that the soldiers can run these instruments. And we also know what sorts of instruments we can field. So I think it's really exciting. And I think, you know, the First Armor Division has really come into this in a partnership with us. That's been great to see.
It's a great organization. I'm speaking, of course, of the Army, but specifically about Fort Bliss. I've had the great pleasure of partnering as a friend and supporter, not as a client, with the leadership of the 1st Armored Division since they came into being in El Paso not that many years ago, just actually a little less than 2 decades ago, and the leadership that they've brought to Fort Bliss through the commanders that we've had, each one seems to just complement the other as they, you know, pass on their experiences. And
absolutely,
we've been very, very fortunate. And, you know, we speak about 3D printing. We spoke before we went on the air about the 3D printed barracks they're building out at Fort Bliss. And that speaks to what you're talking about. That may be not quite as essential and time sensitive as parts for a tank or an armored vehicle, especially if you happen to be in a war zone and critically needing those vehicles to be operative. But nonetheless, I mean, they spoke to, we're building 10 3D barracks on Fort Bliss in the time, roughly 6 months, start to finish. That's just incredible. Normally, it takes about 2 years just to negotiate a contract, let alone start construction, right?
No, it's really cool. And for the listeners, I'm a little bit jealous of Richard right now, because he got to go see the 3D printing going. I was supposed to go, wasn't able to make it that day. And I've seen the videos, and I think your listeners can go online and take a look. It is an amazing process. And I certainly, you know, I think that it is important for this. This is making new barracks, and there's nothing more important than the soldiers and their families and giving them a place for home when they're stationed at Fort Bliss. So I think it is critical to the to the performance of the 1st Armored Division to have
By the
that.
Way, I was corrected on this because when I was in, they were barracks.
Right.
They're not barracks anymore. They are single enlisted housing. So we just ran out of time, as usual, Kenneth.
Oh, man.
Thank you for being on the show with me. For those of you tuned in a minute or so late, we have Dr. Kenneth Meisner, who is the dean of the Miguel A. Loya College of Engineering here at UTEP, talking about all the dynamic new programs that have evolved over the last few years and setting our College of Engineering and our university at the top of everyone's conversation across America. I'm Richard Dayoub. You know what I say to you every time. This is KTEP, your NPR station for the Southwest. If you are a member, thank you for supporting us. If you are not, it's never too late. Go to our website, ktep.org, click on the donate button, and contribute whatever you can, however little or however large. You can make a sustaining member out of yourself by giving us your credit card or your bank account and have it either charged or deducted from your respective cards. And you can support an important program, which is unbiased news reporting, which is so rare in this day and age. Continue to support public media. Thank you and have a great Saturday.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Views expressed by the host and guest don't necessarily reflect those of KTEP. For inquiries about our public affairs programming, email ktep@utep.edu. Richard Dayoub appears courtesy of Thunderbird Consulting. The producer and editor is Daisy Morales. The show is recorded at the Communication Department at the University of Texas at El Paso. To learn more about the program or to listen to past episodes, visit ktep.org.